Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hey, welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for today. It's the first day of May, by the way. May 1st. May Day. Yeah. Folks, you know the significance of that day, correct? Welcome to Hagman, where truth can't be silenced. That's right. We refuse to be silenced. And I got a great show lined up for you today. First out of the gate, my good friend, I'll tell you what, my good friend, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Before I get to him, just really briefly, you're going to be hearing more and more about this weekend. Of course, Joe Biden on Morning Joe today. I think it was today. Well, yeah, it was today, wasn't it? Sexual predator, indeed. He refuses to take any responsibility for his alleged sexual assault of former aide Tara Reid. Is this important? Look, you know, the triage of the headlines, what are you going to do? You look at all of these headlines. Of course, Biden is, has protected his records or Senate archive by donating them to the University of Delaware. So what is the question to ask, I suppose, is what is sexual predator, alleged sexual predator, Joe Biden hiding in his University of Delaware records, saying that, of course, they don't contain any personnel files, which goes back to Tara Reid, which, whatever. But the larger picture of this, and this is what I believe to be the case, the larger picture to this is this. Remember, I don't know, was it February? Was it last year? I've been saying and saying and saying, you know, you're going to have a Hillary Clinton presidency one way or another. Okay. A Hillary Clinton controlled presidency one way or another. Hillary Clinton 2.0. And, watch as we get closer to the election day. We're, 190 some days away. To the general election. I don't want to hurry summer either, so don't worry. Biden's not going to be viable, I don't think. Sanders is basically bought off, and so who's going to take the ticket? And if Biden does survive these challenges, who's going to be his running mate? It's going to be very interesting. And if it's Hillary, you know, Joe, hire some food tasters. All right, my guest, Dr. Richard Proctor. Part of the show, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, the author of the following books. Saving the Constitution, all right? If you don't have this book, you really need to get this book. And I'll tell you what, not only get a book, but get a couple and give them away. Send them to Congress, for crying out loud. Then, A Constitution, If You Can Keep It. This is a tremendous book because it allows for note-taking and it's got questions and so on at the end of the chapter. And then for extra credit, hang on, Liberty, Will It Survive? This is a series which I just devoured this series. And it addresses a number of questions, a number of things, a number of people, a number of groups, a number of laws, a number of not-so-much laws, you know. And got to tell you, Dr. Proctor thought of everything. With me right now is Dr. Richard Proctor. ProvisInstitute.com is where you need to go. And all the program descriptions, links are at HagmanReportLive.com. Do me a favor, folks. Go to YouTube, subscribe to our program there. Subscribe to our program on our channel on Brighteon. That's right. We have a channel, The Hagman Report, on Brighteon. Subscribe. Just go over there in mass and subscribe. And catch today. We'll upload episode today to Brighteon as well to play this weekend. And Dr. Proctor will be playing all throughout the weekend as well. So, Dr. Proctor, how are you, sir?
Good. Glad to be here again.
Oh, man.
This Wednesday. I had withdrawals.
We did too. Eric and I were talking about you and we said, you know, it didn't seem like Wednesday, but, anyway, thanks for your patience in, being, flexible and such. And we appreciate all you do. I got to ask, I'm going to come out with a first question because I got this, I got a bunch of emails today about this. And then you fit this in wherever. Okay. Wherever you fit this in. Constitutional question. Hang on. Let me get the exact, was prepared. I actually wrote it down. Okay. Here it is. A situation of medical tyranny seems to be arising. President Trump appears to be pivoting to mandatory vaccinations under Operation Warp Speed. This is being reported at the Washington Standard as well as other publications. What will happen? Can you ask Dr. Proctor the constitutionality of a mandatory vaccination under any kind of health emergency if we can refuse it? And is it constitutional? So that is a culmination of actually, I don't know, 30 or 40 emails I got today. So,
okay, here's the answer to the question. Amendment 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons. That's persons. Papers, houses, and effects, but persons means you. They cannot, according to the Constitution, compel you to take a vaccine.
That's right.
Now, you got to remember the government is gun, government is force. So if they show up at my door and say you're going to take it or I'm going to shoot you, I kind of think I'll take it, but they're going to have to do it that way. I'll make a noise though, but I don't want to be shot first. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And actually today, Eric, the tech and I were having a conversation and I said, you know, I think it's about time that people need to get in the frame of mind where when confronted with that alternative, or it's not even an alternative. When confronted with that situation, what are you going to do? Me?
Yes.
I'll tell you what.
Doug held me at gunpoint at my desk today to get Dr. Proctor on.
That's right.
I tell you guys, I thought about this when they're going with that N1, K1, whatever it was back in about 2006 or 7. I thought to myself, if they show up with a nurse and an armed guard and say, you haven't taken your shot yet, what am I going to do? Well, I thought to myself, I'm diabetic. If I don't take it and they cart me off to one of these concentration camps, they won't feed me right and I'll die there. Or if I do take it, if I don't take it and they decide to shoot me, I'll die here. One way or the other, I'm going to die. So let's take the shot. And if I'm going to die for that, I'm going to die for that. That's how I thought about it rather than giving up life at that moment.
All right. And to be clear to the Christians out there listening to this, okay, just to be clear, this is not, please understand, you cannot, and I just want to reemphasize this, you cannot be tricked into taking the mark of the beast. Okay, so this according to Pastor Langford, I believe him, he's the pastor of this program, so you cannot be tricked. So this vaccination, unless you swear allegiance to, the Antichrist, it's not the mark of the beast. Does that mean it can't be a predecessor to it? No, I'm just saying this would not be it. So I just want to get that out of the way, Dr. Proctor, because people are going to be sending me emails. So yeah, you know, I think everyone's going to have to be in that state of mind. But you know what? I hope enough people can be proactive by reading your books, by understanding their rights under the Constitution.
Yes.
Or we don't even have to have that discussion or be in that position.
Yes. Yes. If enough people would get the book, yep. Read it, don't get it and put it on the shelf. If enough people would get the book, it's cheap, less than a meal at a restaurant when you get to do that again. If they would just do that, they would know these people can't touch you. They would know these things. Everything we talk about is in the book. If the Constitution is a document, that's a contract with us and the government, and the government has to abide by it. We have to abide by it. The states have to abide by it. Everybody has to abide by it. Then let's us make a noise if they don't. Don't accept it. I mean, I got an email from a young lady just last night who's talking about being at the her council. And she says, guys, these are the rules. These are the rules about my rights. And one of the council members said, well, not during a pandemic. And she wrote me about that. What do you think? And I wrote her an extensive email back again saying, don't back down. You have your rights. There's no provision anywhere in the Constitution that allows them to make you stay home give you, I didn't say give you a shot, but it's the same subject, give you a shot of vaccination, tell you who you can associate with, tell you whether or not you can go on your boat, whether you can go to the beach. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives the government the right to do that. And if we allow it to happen, it will happen again with more force, and it will become the norm rather than the rule, than the exception to the rule. And then we will be in the police state that everybody else that does these, allows these things to happen, got into. Guys, you got to do something. You got to do it in a group. You've got to do it in a group, not individually. I really applaud these people that are gathering and protesting some of this stuff that's going on. I applaud them because they're a group of people. They can't arrest a group of people, okay? They can arrest one. And in unconstitutional arrest, you've got to be in a group. But to be in a group, you need to know why you're there. That's why the book Saving the Constitution was written. I didn't know this was going to happen a year ago when I published this book. I published it, and I began to teach and sell from it. I didn't know it was going to become so important this year. I don't mean it. And it's not just saving the Constitution. We could say saving the country, because if we don't learn our Constitution, we will lose our country. We're already on the path to losing our money and losing our food. We're already in those paths because if we have allowed the government to do what they've done. Tons and tons of food has been destroyed. Animals and vegetables, potatoes, all this is being destroyed because it can't be used. This is terrible, and we're allowing it because we're allowing them to do this to us. I went into a fellow here in Kaysville to get my little car looked at, and I had to walk through one door, down a hallway, through another door. It was all mapped out. So this is how you have to go, and can't have any more than two people here. And he had plexiglass through the counter. You couldn't even talk to him. I mean, we're accepting it. We're accepting it, and we're not fighting back. Am I getting all excited here? Yes, I am.
Good.
Guys, you've got to get this book. You must know what your rights are. I do. I know what they are, and I voice them every time I get a chance. I really chastise him for what he was doing, and I walk the wrong way in the hallway. And I touched a knob. Oh, I didn't know if it had been sanitized or not. So I touched, oh, and I touched it. Am I safe? Oh, no. Oh, yes. I ridiculed him for what he was doing. I do that every time I get a chance. I ridicule people for wearing masks. There is no pandemic. The masks aren't necessary. And even if there were, those masks wouldn't work. So it's just decorative. If that's decorative to you, okay. I'm really excited about this. I cannot say enough. We've got to learn our rights. You can't do something if you don't know it. If you don't know about the Constitution, you can't defend it, save it, or live it. You must know that document. The people in the 1700s, they knew that document. Yes, they did. That's the only way they got things. They read. They read stuff. We don't read. We watch TV. We look at our phones. We play games. Let's read a little bit about the Constitution and save our country and our rights and our lives. Whew. I'm going to stop for a minute.
I love it. Because everything you say, everything you said is correct. I'm almost seeing, and please chime in on this. It almost appears that people are starting to wake up now, a little more than maybe 4 months ago. And there's a section of the population that's wide awake. There's a section of that.
Yes.
Here's a caveat with that. Of that section that's wide awake, maybe a sliver, a small percentage of that section needs to be recalibrated to the proper constitutional guidelines. In other words, there's a small percentage that goes off into the sovereign citizen movement, but nonetheless, these people are awake. I'm seeing that segment grow. Tomorrow, for example, there's going to be a rally. And folks, if you are in New England, listen to me right now. Tomorrow there will be a second reopen New Hampshire rally, Saturday, in front of the New Hampshire State House in Concord at noon. So folks, there it is. So I'm starting to see these people attend these. What do you think of these rallies? You know, with the guns, oh my goodness, armed gunmen storm the state house. Armed gunmen. That was a headline. Armed gunmen storm state house. in what was?
But I doubt there were any guns there. I doubt there were any guns there at all.
There were. I mean, open carry.
There were. Okay.
Yeah. So, but regardless.
Okay, I guess they can. It's okay. It's legal. Yeah. It's all right.
Right. But I just the headline blew my, I mean, I wanted a armed gunmen storm state house. I'm thinking, wait a minute. No, these are individuals exerting their constitutional carry rights to say open our state. And I think it was in Michigan, I believe. So anyway, I just object to the headline. But God, now I'm getting excited.
All right. Well, that's okay. It's okay. If I can get excited, then you ought to be able to. It should be the other way around, actually. But anyway, you know, you ask what I think about these things. There's a small segment. You know, now I've sold a couple of thousand of these books. How many people are there in the United States? 330 million. Hmm. And how many are listening to your program? About 120,000?
At least maybe five.
A couple of thousand books. That's not even breaking the surface yet. We're not even breaking the surface.
Precisely. Precisely. And if you, and I'll just say this. I thought I was pretty, look, I thought I was pretty knowledgeable about the Constitution. I hate when I do that and stop mid thought. But, I took the, course at Hillsdale College, you know, for the Constitution. I thought, man, I'm okay. I know the Constitution. When I got this, folks, when I got this book, I'm telling you what, I did, but not as well as it's explained here. So please, if you haven't purchased it yet, please do so.
On the back cover of the book, there's a quote here by Don Fotheringham. Now, Don Fotheringham is a real scholar in our state of Utah. Everybody's a part of the Freedom First organization. He's really up to date in these kinds of things. And his quote on the back says, brilliantly, simply, simple logic, focused on essential principles, a wonderful job, conversational style, should be a school textbook. Every section answers a question that he's had and concerns over. I mean... This book covers the side. I'm going to pat myself on the back, guys. This is the best book I've ever written. And it's my pride and joy. This book will help you know what to do with this situation today. Now, we always talk about the Liberty series too, but that Liberty series is 2,000 pages. This is 300. Come on. This will give you what you need today. If you really want some of the Liberty series and you're a little concerned about buying all six, then get volume one. And volume six, and then volume four, in that order. At least know what's happening. That gives you the background of what's occurring. But the Saving the Constitution is the book that we need today. Today. Not next week. Not next month. Today. I've got hundreds of copies sitting here, ready to mail out. And I can get hundreds more in a week. I'm ready to send them out. Please. Guys, it isn't expensive. Do it. There's no shipping, no taxes. Just send it to me. Send me an order. I pay the taxes if I have to. I pay the shipping. Send me an order.
That's right.
You're not going to the restaurant now anyway. So there's a good way to spend some money.
You know, and I'm going to those people saying, well, you're always hawking books, you know, selling books. Let me tell you something. All right. This to me is kind of an instruction manual. In fact, again, Eric the Tech and I, we were talking today, and that's right, I did hold him at gunpoint, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm kidding. But we were talking today about what's in this book, and he's borrowed it and taken it home. He's going to get his own copy here today as well, or tonight as well. But this is an instruction manual as to what we can do or what we should be doing today. So to those people who say, well, you're always pushing books, what's more important than right now than our freedom today? But you're gracious enough, doctor, to discuss what's in this book and give us advice free of charge. So to those people who say, well, you know, hey, look, Dr. Proctor's giving us time here, and that's worth something, a lot. So support him. Get the book and get educated.
There may be some people here today that didn't hear what this book has got in it. Everybody doesn't listen every week, and this is Friday instead of Wednesday.
That's right.
This book takes the original Constitution. I'm talking about the one that was done in Philadelphia in 1787, okay, that was ratified in 1788. It takes that document, and it takes every paragraph and outlines, discusses, and explains every paragraph in the Constitution in language you can understand. For example, how many of you know what corruption of blood means? Ex post facto laws. What's going on here? What do these terms mean? They're in the Constitution, but what does that mean? What's admiralty law? What's maritime law? What is that? It's in the Constitution. What does it mean? It's explained in the book. All of these things are explained. So you can see in English, regular American English, what it says. Amen. And that's why the book's important. Nobody else does that. Every time I hear somebody say, well, I know this guy does and I know that guy does. So I said, and I've read his books and they're good. I ask him, how many representatives should your state have in Congress? And they have no idea. And that's how clearly the other guys are writing. They have no idea.
And you know, guys, this is expound on that if you'd like, because we should have, according to the Constitution, we should have at least 10,000 members, right?
Yeah, right here. Let's just take a little. I'm reading the Constitution for you guys that got it out right this very second. It says this is in Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3. All right, now that's the key. It says, the number of representatives shall not exceed one for every 30,000, but each state shall have at least one. Now, what does that say in today's language? If you have 30,000 people, you're authorized to have a representative in Congress in Washington, D.C. 30,000. Your city has 30,000, you're authorized.
Yep.
That's what that says, guys. It doesn't say 435 and there's 780,000 people per representative. It says 30,000. Okay? It's very clear. It's not hidden. It's very clear. Nobody knows it, though. Nobody knows it. Yep. I brought it up just recently. The guy says, oh, I know this. I know the Constitution. I read it from this guy. So I asked him the question. Huh? He didn't know it. Because people don't, nobody has written the Constitution and explained it. That's what it is. Oh, carried away again.
No, and that's why I wanted you to address that, because there it is in simple terms. And it cannot be more simpler, if I can say that correctly, than saving the Constitution. It's, I look at this as an instruction manual, and I guarantee you, you're going to learn something, many things new that you really thought you knew, but you really didn't know. All right. Now, Doctor, and by the way, the links to purchase the book will be in the program description box right down below this video if you're watching this at Hagman Report Live. All right. So, you know, I was, Doctor, I was pretty emotional when I was looking at a video today, a restaurant that, there was a meeting of restaurateurs in New York City, a virtual meeting. And, listening to some of the people saying, look, you know, we've been in business 75 years now. If we have to put up plexiglass barriers between booths and use disposable condiment things, whatever the regulations, the overregulator, the guy said, I'm used to overregulation in New York State or in New York. That's a sad place to be, I think, in my view. That's sad that conversation even has to. So anyway, I was almost, no, I'm seriously, I was very emotional about that, because businesses are being ruined, and we can't allow this anymore. We have to say enough. So
they are that says that those restaurateurs are willing to give up their freedoms and their rights just so they can open their doors. That's what that says. I know they need to open their doors, but what they need to do is open their doors like they used to. Don't change to be something new, because the government has put a hoax upon us. And that's what they've done. It's a hoax, you guys. I'm sorry that people, I heard a guy got arrested and thrown in jail because he said the vaccine is not a good thing to do. Somebody's probably going to arrest me too, because I'm saying this thing is a hoax. It will permeate our society if we don't do something about it. We don't want it to permeate our society. We want to have a free society like we had, at least as well as we had 6 months ago. But if we don't do something about it, we'll look back on that with nostalgia in a decade and wonder, how come we lost that? That's what we'll do.
I'm glad you expanded upon that as well, because regular guest on Monday, John Moore, the Liberty Man, we were having a conversation. Now, I support John Moore. I mean, I like him. We're personal friends. And we were having a conversation on air about this very issue. And I said, well, why don't the restaurants, I'm thinking back to how I said this basically, but hey, you just open up, period. And he said, well, you know, if you do that, then the licensing institution can close you down and, you know, you could lose your business because of violating licensing statutes and such. They could pull your license. They could pull your permits and such. What do you say to that? Because he's got a point, but it's not constitutional, right? I mean, they can't stop you from
working. Yes, that's right. This is one of the encroachments. I'm going to just speculate. Do you guys think that in 1787, and they went to the local bar, he had a license from the government to operate? Do you think that was the case? I've opened restaurants before. I've opened things before that I've done. I did food. They were not restaurants, actually. They were impulse buying pretzels. Okay. I did quite a few stores. We had to go by the law of the land, but that's encroachment on your freedom. I should not have been able, should not have had to do that at all. But the government has slowly encroached on our lives to the point where we are now in a position where if they say we can't open, we can't open. And our business will go under? Is that the solution? Okay, they say we can't open, then I won't. I'll just close my doors and never open again. Mm-hmm. And you guys, if we allow government to completely compel us to do those things, the nose and the tent flap guys, and they're moving the camel in or moving us out. We must get back to free enterprise and free government and this licensing, all these licensing. It's just a way to keep people under control. They say it's for health. I'm going to give you an illustration. Health. Now remember, I opened pretzel stores. These were stores. We just sold pretzels over the counter. Didn't sell anything else. And everybody liked them and we sold lots of them. Okay, so here we go. To open a store in a particular city in California, they wouldn't let me have a particular color on my walls, a particular color of tile, because that might show dirt. Okay, at least that's what they said. And when they came in to do the inspection to open the store, they got down on their hands and knees, opened the cupboard, and looked up underneath the cupboard to the ceiling of the cupboard and said, you haven't got any vinyl covering that. We won't let you open. Now, how ridiculous is that? Now, meanwhile, we went through all those hoops. We had to do all that stuff. It cost me another $10,000 or $20,000 because of California's laws. We did get it open. Then we couldn't hire anybody unless they'd had food handlers permits. And so that's fine. They all got a food handlers permit. But after they got their permit, when they came to work, they couldn't have passed. They couldn't have passed. In our store, they don't come and inspect you again. So stores deteriorate. And as stores deteriorate, all those things that made me do to start all changed. But nobody bothered about that. So what's the real thing here? The real thing is control, not safety, none of that. If it'd been safety, they'd pay more attention to what's really going on. I mean, we tried to pay attention to see the people. We didn't want to spread any disease, but I don't know what those people were doing the day before. I didn't give them food handlers tests before they came to work. And I know they wouldn't be able to pass one. And so this is just a control to keep the business from opening. Once it's opened, then they move on to keep another business from opening. And then they do inspections and they come through and do the inspections, but the inspections wind up being very cursory. And you know, guy, now I'm not suggesting that they're going to come through and look under the counter, up in the ceilings of the cupboards. I'm just saying that that's ridiculous and they don't pay any attention to it after you're open. So if they don't pay any attention to it, then why do they care at the beginning? It's a business of controlling people and keeping them. It's like licensing beauty. A young lady wants to do beauty stuff in her home. She wants to do stuff to take care of them just as a part-time job. Well, she has to have a license. She has to have a license. She has to go to school. The school's 2 years. 2 years, was it a lot? Is that that long? I don't know. It's huge school time they have to do. And they have to learn all about everything about the body and all the stuff. I don't know what all. But they have to go through stuff that'll never happen. All they're going to do is hair. But they got to get a license that costs them thousands to get. And then they can go to work. That's just a means to keep people out. That's all it is. A good friend of mine was doing, now this is another subject, encroaching on us, our rights. He was a roofer. He'd been doing roofs for 25 years. Well, somebody decided in their wisdom that he had to have courses on how to do roofs. And if he didn't have the courses, they were going to jerk his contractor's license so he couldn't work. And that's the same thing we're talking about. Licensing, control of companies, controlling people by some bureaucrat's idea of what everybody ought to do. And those costs, those, all that makes our costs more expensive. I tried to do some inexpensive, I'm just really going on with this idea, this government encroachment. I tried to do some solar panels. I figured out a way to do solar panels for about $250 each. I couldn't do them because the city wouldn't let me until I had a UL approval. The UL approval cost $60,000.
Wow.
So I didn't do them. I didn't do them. So the community I was going to service, they didn't get them, period. I mean, if you're going to pay $10,000 to $20,000 to get a roof on, or you can pay $400 or $500, which would you choose? And how many more roofs would there be? Even if solar doesn't do everything, it does do something. How many more could they have if they could have gotten them from me for $250? But
very interesting
I couldn't
point.
Do it.
Well, why didn't you say no? I'm not gonna listen to you. I'm gonna do it anyway. Why didn't you say no?
Because the utility company wouldn't allow me to hook up the hookups unless I had the UL approval. I couldn't hook it up without the UL approval. Now, I'll say it this way. If I wasn't trying to hook up to the city, okay, because I didn't want to use it 100%. If I wasn't going to hook up to the city, then I could have done all I wanted. But I didn't want to depend on electricity from solar panels at night and in the middle
right.
of winter.
Okay.
See?
Yeah, that's
and run the freezer, run the refrigerator, run the stove. I had to have input from the city. But when I had extra input, then I would run it back to the power companies. And I knew that. $250 a panel was all it would run. Then the installation. And it was just made out of 2x4s and plexiglass and stuff like that, regular wire. It wasn't like we're good. 6 months and $60,000 was what it was going to cost me. So I didn't do it. And if I had done it, I would only been able to do it for my home. And I would have done that, but I couldn't depend on it because I couldn't get any electricity from the city. So there you have it. If there was no electricity coming from the city, then I would have done it.
I understand.
Sold it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's a little different when you're tapping into the or connecting to a city utility. It's a little different. It would have been self-defeating anyway. All right. My guest is Dr. Richard Proctor, provisinstitute.com. I wanted to just reintroduce you. Of course, folks, Saving the Constitution, you got to get that book, Saving the Constitution. And hey, if, you know, I want to help you. If you can't afford it, I want to help you. You know, it's a very affordable though, nonetheless. Saving the Constitution. Go to provisinstitute.com. And there, by the way, thank you for being so gracious and answering listener and viewer emails. My goodness, for an incredibly busy guy, you're very gracious with your time. So thank you for that. And I at this point, by the way, you're going to be with me next Wednesday, regular time, regular place, right?
Yes, regular time, regular right. go, regular everything.
All right. This is kind of a special and kind of unique little segment here because a lot of people are going to be that ordinarily don't have a chance to listen during the week. And I know that sounds weird because you can download, but some people just are old school. So a lot of people that never heard you before are listening to you now. So, all right. Doctor, we're halfway through and I don't want to take any of your valuable time. You go where you want to go. We can have a conversation, but address what you want to address.
You sent me an email. A fellow had a question about, I wish I could remember. You sent it to me this morning.
I've got it here.
And I haven't got it written in front of me, but I hope you do.
I do.
He said, good.
In fact, I will tell you what it is right now. Okay, here it is. Since China is responsible for the Communist Party Chinese virus or the coronavirus, can they be charged, meaning China, can China be charged with crimes against humanity and pay reparations, made to pay reparations to countries that are affected by this virus? And this comes from Craig W. Craig, thanks for the question. It's all yours.
And it's a good question. It's a good question. Now let's talk a little bit about what that really means. Let's assume that they wanted to take him to court. What court is it? It's the court, International Court in Brussels, Belgium. Okay, that's what it is. Now, what would they do? They would go to that court and everybody would claim we want reparations from China, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let's assume that the court agrees and say, okay, China, you got to pay reparations. Would they? No, they wouldn't, because there's no force behind the decision, no compulsion. Would you have to spend scads of money, your government or whatever, you individuals spend thousands of dollars to do it? Yes. Would you get any satisfaction? No. And then the defense on China's side will be, but we got that. So we got a lot of that stuff from Massachusetts. It's not us. We got it from Massachusetts. We know we were funded by the United States. It's not us. We were just doing stuff that they gave to us and asked us to do. And that would be their defense. And that would be valid too. And then they would also say, yeah, but Bill and Melinda Gates, they were helping us money was sent from the federal government. They were helping us. Why, we're not responsible for all of this. And that would be a defense. What would you gain? Yes, it could be done. What would you gain? And that's the issue. Why spin your wheels on something that cannot come to any fruition to begin with? If you can't get a fruition, why spin your wheels? Unless it's an absolute necessity, like we could do something very appropriate. Jesus Christ came to this world to save it, and the people treated him like trash. And he was honest, good person, perfect person, helped everybody that wanted, and they treated him like trash, and eventually nailed him to a cross. Now, he didn't stop because he didn't come to any fruition of what he wanted then. He did it. So we can't say that it's not a good idea to do things that you may not win at. That's not a good plan. But in this particular case, trying to accuse a government, an entire government, a huge government, of being the culprit is not going to get very far. Yes, you can do it.
Thank you for that answer. And you're right. You know, I had a conversation with an attorney this week about a matter, and the answer was exactly what you said. Yeah, sure, I can do this for you, but what are you going to gain? And he was right.
Yeah.
He said, I guarantee you're going to prevail in this case and in this matter. but you're also going to be making my boat payments for me. So, you know.
Yeah. And I had a case like that too, with the business I was doing, exactly the same. They said, you'll prevail, but what will it cost you? And then what will you get from it?
No.
And we didn't do it. I understand that stuff.
Which is why. And kind of getting back to saving the Constitution, that's more than a book title, by the way. That's what we need to do. We need to be doing right now is saving our Constitution by our actions and by spreading the word, but about saving the Constitution, the book. But we need to, I think we need to be proactive right now. And part of being proactive is reading your book, Saving the Constitution, and others at provisinstitute.com. But we also need to offset, be preemptive with respect to what's coming down the road. And I think, you know, forcing business closures or forcing them not to reopen. Go ahead.
Yeah, Doug, this is not an issue that is impossible, that you can't prevail at. Maybe I couldn't prevail individually if I went to these people and say, look, you can't do this. And they'd look at me and say, ha, I'm going to anyway. Okay. But if lots of people did it together as a unit, in other words, if all the restaurants in New York City opened, all of them opened without paying any attention to this, what's the government going to do? Shut down them all? No, they haven't got the staff to do that. They can't shut them all down. And besides, they don't have the lock and key, so they can pull your license, but you can still open. I know there are rules here, and I understand it. But at the same time, we can rebel, but we have to do it as a unified group, not as individuals. If I wanted to open a restaurant today, I'd make sure everybody here in Kaysville, Utah opened also at the same time I did, or I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't want to take the whole rap for trying to stop it. But if everybody did, it'd get done. It would. If everybody in Davis County where I did, it'd get done and would win. If the stores, if the business was just open your doors and for business, then you'll be back to business. And I don't think anybody will stop you. We've got a situation here in Utah that they said, we don't want the businesses open. We want you to stay home. Nobody said you're under law to do it. We want you to do it. So everybody did. But now we have businesses saying, come on, we're going to do it anyway. We're going to open anyway. And they are. And people are going there and they're shopping. That's how to do it. Just open up. Just do it again. If the government's going to get really mad at you, then everybody do it, and they can't be mad at you. They got to be mad at everybody.
Yeah, kind of like California, closing the beaches. If everyone went to the beach, well, the beaches are closed. No, we're going to go. And if everyone went, or everyone who wanted to went, or went on principle, then what are they going to do? If everyone opened the businesses. But see, Coach Dave Dobmeier, from CoachDaveLive.com, we have, and I've watched him work tirelessly, relentlessly, in trying to get people together to do just those things. And we've had countless conversations about things like this. Why can't people, or how do we get people together to do this? Because if enough people spoke up and said, no, you're not going to be killing babies in that building, and we're not going to know. No, I mean, if we all work together, how do we do that? How do we get people to work together to that end, the common good?
Very, very difficult. Okay. Very, very difficult. Nonetheless, you need to do, Dave needs to do the kinds of things he's doing, but the people are so apathetic. I'm going to use another illustration. Revolutionary War. How many people participated? Oh, about 3%. About 3%. That's all. They did it anyway. They couldn't get the other 97%, even 10% to participate with them. It's not a problem of today. It's a problem of human nature. That goes on all the time. Here's an illustration, though, that worked very well. The Nazis came into Denmark and they said, okay, all the Jews have to wear a yellow star. And the next day, the king showed up wearing a yellow star. By noon, everybody in the country was wearing a yellow star. They thwarted the Nazi organization, thwarted them. Now, that's what I call sticking together. That's what to do.
Amen to that. They all wore yellow stars. And, you know, that's what we need to do. Otherwise, we're going to be on the other end, the bad end of things, the way I see things shaping up. You know, Doctor, you're very wise, by the way, and yeah, we need to coalesce as a group. At least we can win on the numbers. The Christian conservatives, the conservatives, politically conservatives, we can win on the numbers. We at least have half. Yeah. Half the people can, you know, at least half of us are in that boat, I think. So why not? Yeah.
Yeah. But remember, there's a very important point here. You can't do anything you don't know anything about.
There it is.
You can't do it if you don't know it. That's what education's about. People say you're pushing books. Yes, that's where education is. There is no education without books. None. Zero. There's experience without books, but there's no education. I can do one person. I can teach one person how to fish. But if I write a book about fishing and it's a good one, I can teach everybody to fish. And that's what a book is for. That's why we have libraries. That's what books are for. They're to teach. They're for learning. You can't do anything you don't know anything about. Period. You can't do it.
Yeah. So, and on our side, Doctor, on our side, I see a lot of people who attend these massive rallies in the or rallies, period. And the mainstream media will go out of their way to find someone who can't articulate the position that they're there to draw attention to very well. Or maybe they'll find somebody that looks good, dressed well, you know, but they just can't cite the constitutional
yes.
stuff. So that's why this is, you know, you go to a rally, I would hope everyone's got one of these in their backpack, in their pocket, I mean, in their, you know, on their person.
Yes.
Because
absolutely.
You say, because
then you can open it and point to them.
Yeah.
Yes. The young lady who sent that email, she said that she'd purchased all my books. And I said to myself, good. Now read them, please read them. At least read the saving book. At least that one. I don't care. You've got them on the back of your shelf there.
I do.
I see them, and that's very nice. But I hope they don't just sit on the shelf. No. Did I say that?
No. Got to dust them up. No, seriously.
I understand. I'm just joshing. It's very important to read a book.
It is. And the why they're there, and you can even tell, see, the giveaway is the tabs.
I saw your mark. Yeah. Your tabs. Yeah.
I don't like to mark books. You know, I don't like to write them. Anyway, yeah, people need to read them too. But they're one of the few reference books. I look at them as reference books. They're with some of the forensic textbooks and stuff that I've got. But anyway, I refer to them often because, especially the Liberty series, which had to take you, and I know we've talked about this before, but it had to take you like, you know, years to live and write.
I figure I have 55 years in that book, yeah. in those books.
Yeah,
that's what I figure I have.
And folks, you want to know about, you know, maritime law and such and the origins of where we're at now. Boy, the Liberty series is the way to go. I'm telling you, it is, and you're right. By the way, when I went through them, I was able to see see how you did that, see how you added things to that series and inserted things. And I love it. So, but you can get volume one and get volume six at the beginning if you can't afford the entire. Both.
Yes, those are the volume one is the beginning, a little bit about everything.
Yeah.
Volume six is the end, how to fix it.
That's right.
What to do.
But
now, everything I wrote to fix it would be very, very difficult, but those are the things to do to fix it. That's what that's about.
Well, and
now, volumes two through five are explanations in detail about all the stuff from volume one.
That's true. And I've heard people recently say, oh, you're talking about globalists, but you really don't know who the globalists are, or the global institutions. You can't identify them by name or by organization. You do.
I do.
And not only
names.
That, you also provide how we allowed them to take over certain parts of our
country. I think there's thousands of names of people in there that are doing these things to us. There may not be, but I think there are thousands of names. Of people who are doing these things to us rather than hiding. They're not hiding. I compiled a lot of stuff. I didn't write all of it. I compiled it. I found people. I brought it all together into one place so that you could have one place to go rather than having to look for your library and find it somewhere.
Which that's why they're where they're at, because I can grab them easy. And you made it very easy. You index them yourself. I think, I think that's what you told me, right?
Yes, I do.
So
I do. Yes,
it's very easy.
I index
to find
the books.
Yeah.
Just for information, again, someone may not know. I take every book before it's published, after it's finished, and I go through the first page. Are there any important words on the first page? If there are, I take those words through the whole book and keep track of every page, and I do that through the whole book. So every word that I think at the moment is important, it's in there, and every place it exists is there. And all you have to do if you want to research the subject is look in the index of each book, take down the notes of where the references are and read those references. You can do it. It's not difficult. I did that so people could do that thing, that kind of thing.
Understood. Now, one of I got another question from a listener who wanted to know about the constitutionality of postponing or rescheduling elections, whether they're, well, federal elections primarily, specifically with respect to the president, the office of the president. Do you have any, and you feel free to opine on this as well. Do you have any thoughts on what we might be seeing in the upcoming November election? In terms of.
Oh, you know, I'm
go ahead.
I'm very nervous about what might happen in the upcoming election. Just look at the possibilities here. There are people in this country who want to destroy it, and there are lots of them. and they are very active in doing it. The people who don't want to destroy it, who want to keep it, and there are lots of them and way more than the other group, they don't really do very much. They just kind of apathetic. Things are good, things are right, so they don't do very much. That's why the voting turnout is so poor, because everything is all right. But if there was something in there that's really, that they really wanted to do, then they'd go do it. Well, let me see. All the people who want to get money from the government, they vote for the people who will give them money. Okay? That's a key. So they go do it. Now, all the people who are working and are trying to get by without getting money to the government, they don't go vote. They're too busy working. So the people who want to get, who want to give the money away get elected. And the people who are trying to fight against it don't. Now you say, but that's Democrat and Republican. No, it isn't. They're both the same. The Republicans didn't fight about Social Security. That's giving money away. Everybody almost unanimously signed this CARES thing to give us all $1,200, which is going to wipe us out. If they do that too many times, we won't have a country left, let alone just once, and once won't really help anything. What I'm trying to say is I think there's so much apathy that we are in a real problem. Next, postpone the election. They can't. That's not constitutional. The term is 4 years. You can't go beyond it, or you violated the document. You've begun to set up a king or an emperor. Can't go beyond it. Must quit his term on December the 31st, so to speak, of this year. Yeah, his term is up. You can't go into next year. That's what the book says. You can't do it. So if they postpone the election till after it, they have set a pattern of not having elections if they don't want them. And how do you do that? You cause a crisis. You do something that creates a crisis. Then you don't have an election. Then you can do it again and again and again. You can keep people in office a long time. Now, Trump might be a good guy to keep in office, but what if Hillary was in office and she kept doing the things to get her to stay again and again and again, went on for years and years and years? Folks, we cannot afford these things. I worry about the idea of postponing an election. I worry about the idea of registration on the same day you vote. Mm. I worry about all the things that are there to get people who want something from our government that is not constitutional, illegal, and they want it anyway, so they vote for the people who will give it to them, and those people are actively involved in getting this stuff. And those of us who want to work and do normal life and just get along and do stuff are apathetic. And since we're apathetic, the other guy wins. That's why the Republicans are so bad today. They used to have, well, the Democratic Party too, both of them, but the Democrats were first. We used to have a demarcation between the two. That's when I started studying economics and studying it. I looked at the two parties and I saw the Republican Party wanted to have people with independent thinking. The Democratic Party wanted to have people that would take money, give them welfare, give them this, give them that. So I went with Republican. And then I discovered over time that the Republicans were doing exactly the same thing, so I ditched them too. The point I'm trying to make is we are in a world of hurt because we're apathetic. I am concerned that this November election will be a real sorry event. I'm only hoping. Here's a thought, Doug, goes through my mind that I think is very important. We all say God is in charge, and yes, he is, but he uses imperfect people, that's us, to do his will. Now, he can make anything happen that he wants, but he doesn't do that because he gives us our free choice. And if our free choice wants bad things, then our free choice can get good things. He is in charge, but he uses imperfect people. Next, he's in charge, but he may be fed up with us because we won't follow his concepts and his commandments. So then he lets the people get control to punish us. He's in charge, but we need to understand what we need to do for the guy who's in charge. And sometimes that's getting off our derrieres and going out and doing things that we haven't usually done. We've got to support him and what he wants at the same time as we ask him to support us and what we want. Is that okay?
Wow. That was stated very eloquently, and I appreciate that. And you're exactly right. You know,
we expect Washington or President Trump to do his, to do stuff, yet we don't do the things that are really required of us. So you're right. You're correct when you say that. And I appreciate that because, yeah, we've got to get off our backsides. You know, we can't expect things to change on their own. We have to change it. We have to be the agents of change is what you're saying as well.
Yes. But remember, if ever a government gets something, they keep it. So if they get us to postpone election one time, then they'll do it again and again. And then if they postpone it for 1 month, the next time it'll be two or three or four or a year or 2 years. We cannot let these things get out of hand. We cannot allow it. We must stand up and resist. I don't know how to do that if we're just going to sit on our butts. Oh, did I say a wrong word? I don't do a good job with this broadcasting stuff. Oh. I have words I say and I can't use.
Well, I think ass is in the the word ass is in the Bible, so I think we're allowed to say ass. We can sit on our asses.
That's a donkey. That's an animal that's running around the corral.
Well, I got one in the, Eric's got one in his backyard. I sit on his ass all the time.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, we only have a couple of minutes left of our time together today, but you're going to be back on Wednesday, folks. Mark your calendar.
Yes.
This Wednesday night, Dr. Proctor is going to be with me, for the entire show. So I'm so excited to have him back. So in the couple of minutes we have left, what should we do this weekend, you know, between now and Wednesday? I mean, we need to, there's a rally in New Hampshire. We need to attend rallies and say, no, you know, we're not going to put up with this stuff anymore. We're going to open businesses back up. Is that what we need to do?
Yes. Let's just do a scenario, a small scenario. Let's recommend. That's a better way to say it. Recommend everybody go out this weekend. Go to a restaurant that might be open or a place that is open. Support them. They're trying to do something with less people than I've ever had before. Go out and do something. They're waiting for you. Let's us, all of us, do something. I don't care if the government says you got to stay home. Ignore it. Everybody, go do something. If you get in trouble, I'm sorry. That's a risk you're going to have to take, and you have to make your own decision. My decision is I go do things every day. I do my normal life every day. And I ridicule in one way or another those who are emphasizing the lack of doing their life every day.
Yeah.
That's what I do, guys.
I'm glad you said that. I often joke on this platform, my wife won't go anywhere with me anymore because I'm very outspoken. And I like you. I mean, I'll tell you what. You and I, we'd be a match in, we do things very much the same. Dr. Proctor, thank you so very much. And I'm looking forward to our time together next week. I appreciate your flexibility. Yes. All right.
We'll do together.
All right. Thank you, sir. Folks, the book, Saving the Constitution and the Liberty Series, go to provisinstitute.com and support Dr. Proctor. I mean, the guy put a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort into his books, into his works. But this is, I'm telling you, this is critical to get. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Hagmann Report for today. It's the first day of May. It's May Day, and you know the significance of May Day, right? If you don't, do yourself a favor. Do some research on it. I hope everyone caught the first hour of today's show, Dr. Richard Proctor, provisinstitute.com. Do me a favor, folks, and I mean this from the heart. If you're looking for a good book about the Constitution, Saving the Constitution, it really is it's one of my favorites. And I've got, if you could see over there, I've got a lot of books. Speaking of doing things that are good and good things. What have you done for yourself lately in terms of making sure that you are all that you can be? What do I mean? I mean, your immune system is all keyed up in, again, I'm not making any medical claims. I'm just saying, hey, you know, I worry about that too. As you get older, I worry about, you know, which nutritional supplement I take, because I do homework and I look at things and I say, man, you know, you can buy multivitamins at Walmart for like $5. But what are you getting? Oh, let me tell you, healthmasters.com, the real deal in terms of nutritional supplements, healthmasters.com. You're not going to find any, in my view, any better product. And it's a shame, I have to say, in my view, or temper that with, you know, this language. But today you've got to, because my goodness, you know, lawsuits fly. Healthmasters.com. They've helped me. I can say that. I've been helped by their product. Their Ultimate Multiple is fantastic. I take it every day. Vitamins B, C, D, D3, K2. Oh, man. Never felt better. And by the way, Hagman Brewer Healthy Immune Kit, I see he changed it back. That's good. That's good. Because it is the Healthy Immune Kit by Dr. Brewer and family, as well as, I like it. That's kind of one of my favorites, along with the leveling out the blood sugar. So there's my testimonial. It's not a commercial, but a testimonial. Healthmasters.com. By the way, if you order between now and I think Monday at midnight, use HR5 as the promo code. That is HR5. I believe that's still in effect or will be in effect. That's HR5 at healthmasters.com for 5% off of your purchase. Do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor. Go to healthmasters.com. And by the way, they have a radio show, Ted and Austin Brewer, 5 days a week. It's Monday through Friday for those keeping track at home, 3 to 4 p.m., and Sundays from 7 to 8, right there. You can get the current and archived programs, and I would encourage you to listen every day. Just click on the link right there. If you're watching this or if you're driving, it's on healthmasters.com on the upper right-hand side, or if you're listening to this and don't have a video. So there it is. Dr. Ted Brewer, healthmasters.com. Dr. Brewer, Ted, how you doing?
Doug, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on. It's good to talk to you and your wonderful listeners again. And of course, many of my listeners are listening to the show tonight because we promoted your show tonight for our listeners. And plus, we have a huge crossover market anyhow. So yeah. When we talk to one, we talk to another. So I want you guys to know that it was my privilege to pray for you this morning. I pray for you guys every day. I consider myself to be in covenant with the Most High God through Christ. And when you guys are brothers and sisters in Christ, I really feel that we're all kind of in this together. I had a friend of mine, his name's Rob, and he has a magazine, and he basically, I've been advertising in his magazine. He's a Christian. You know who he is, Doug. Nice guy, great guy, brilliant guy. And he asked me the other day, are you going to renew your subscription, your magazine, your articles, your ads? And I said, of course I am. I said, we're kind of all in this together. We're all in it together. And so when you support Health Masters, you help support Doug's show, our show. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. It means the world to me. Because, guys, you know, I told you guys back in January, I was one of the first people basically on the planet who had a talk show, who basically came on other people's talk shows also, and warned you that this Wuhan virus was bad. And it was headed this way. And there were a lot of people in Wuhan, China that were dying. And I had a friend of mine who still lives there and tells me it hasn't gotten any better and tells me that they're still shut down. See, people are still wearing masks and part of the factories are reopened. Part of them are still closed. Part of them are in this rotational closing. That's what's going on in China right now. And that's exactly what they're trying to do to us today in the United States. Now, you say, what do I mean they? Okay. On my show today, and I don't have time to cover it on this show, I talked about the controllers of the planet. I talked about the billionaire boys club, to use another word, another term, that control the earth and how they have a kind of a private club. And you and I and Doug are not in it. And so these guys are the ones that have the deep military underground bunker systems. These are the ones who run the international banking cartels. And I talk about the nexus of this and the spider web that comes together and what's in the middle of the spider web and who controls all of these spirals from the web. So please listen to today's show. In addition to that, my daughter, if you go to the healthmasters.com website, news site, or even on our Facebook page, last Saturday I took her to a studio. She has a beautiful singing voice. And today we talked about a lot of really crazy stuff. And so I had the audio of her playing Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, played on our show today. And you can hear that same broadcast, or you can hear that same song if you'd like, at the Health Masters Facebook page or to their news site. But let's talk about the virus very quickly, and let's talk about what's happening with it. This week, Doug, I spoke to a top doctor at one of the top hotels in New York. Top hospitals in New York. And she's on the inside, so to speak, and she's been in the emergency room repeatedly, and she's seen what's going on with COVID-19 in the emergency rooms. Okay, this is not, you know, someone that I read about. This is not someone that I heard about. I spoke to her personally for half an hour this weekend. I basically recorded her conversation so I could take a good notes on it. She asked not to be identified. She asked that her hospital not be identified. She asked to be remain anonymous, and I told her that'd be fine, because of the controversial nature of what she said. And plus, she has been told, along with other healthcare professionals in these major hospitals in New York, basically to shut up and not talk to the press. But she talked to me anyhow. So what was interesting about this is she said when this COVID virus came through New York about a month ago, you know, 6 weeks ago, it was awful. She said their ventilators were full, the emergency rooms were full, but then she said over the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's really calmed down. And she goes, now the hospitals are pretty much empty. The emergency rooms really aren't overwhelmed. And the hospitals now are going to have to reopen for elective surgeries and elective procedures because the hospitals are basically going broke. That's why when you go to the parking lots, they're empty, the rooms are empty, the floors are empty. You know, they don't need their 50,000 ventilators that Donald Trump was going to issue his presidential order to force General Motors to start producing ventilators. And now in some of the studies, it shows that the ventilators don't help to make things worse. In fact, 90% of the patients that go on to the ventilators never come off the ventilators. They basically turn off after they're dead. So the COVID thing is still very, very real. But it's exactly what I told you in January when we discussed this. If you keep your immune system strong, if you take 4,000 to 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C, 5,000 to 10,000 IUs of vitamin D3 along with K2 every day, if you take potassium iodide, 12.5 milligrams, and you also take zinc at about 50 milligrams a day, your body's immune system stays so strong that you simply don't get sick. In fact, you don't really get colds or viruses. And I'm not specifically making any claims for COVID. I'm not making any of those claims at all whatsoever. Let me be very clear about that. What I'm talking about is keeping your immune system strong. In fact, when I spoke with the medical doctor in the hospital in New York on the front lines, she says that she takes her supplements every single day. In addition to that, she said she thought she had the COVID virus several weeks ago. She had a, you know, basically a dry hacking cough, the whole bit, the symptoms, the dizziness, all of it. And it lasted a couple of days and it was gone. But she again assured me that she takes her supplements. And in fact, I asked her, why is it that the CDC and the major institutions are not talking about taking vitamins? And she goes, I don't know. They need to be telling everybody to build their immune systems. And I said to her, I said, well, here's the primary reason in case you want to know. The Food and Drug Administration has basically ridiculed the use of vitamin supplementation for the past 50 years. Told you how it was useless and it doesn't work. So now if suddenly they come back around and say, oh, by the way, we were wrong about vitamins. You need to take your D and your C and your potassium iodide and your zinc, and it'll really help reduce the risks of different types of infectious diseases, including viral loads. Suddenly they'll be saying, wait a minute, there's another opportunity here, you know, than just using the Rockefeller Rothschild medical industrial pharmaceutical complex. And that's what we've run into, you know, all the special interest groups. Now, I don't want you saying anything about anything. Just follow the mainstream protocol. Spend hundreds of thousands, not millions of dollars on yourself if you get put in the hospital with coronavirus to help enrich the pockets of these elite who run these major institutions through the international banking cartels who've bought their stocks and through interlocking corporate directorships control them. That's why 95% of the media is controlled by the international banking cartels. You can go back and do your own research in that. And it's so very important that we understand that this is a giant psyop at this point. The media is being controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel or the globalists or the cabalists, whatever you want to call them. They believe, I've talked about this on the show before, they believe that the universe is a giant tree with points of light on it. There's this giant tree wrapped inside of the universe called the Ein Sof, and these guys worship him. I mean, some ridiculous nonsense like that. But they believe this. The problem is they control the money supply. And I go into detail about this today on our show, so I want you to listen to that. But guys, please understand this nexus is being run via the international banking cartels through their affiliates, their media. As we know, we all know about, or if you don't know about, you need to look up at the Operation Mockingbird, in which the CIA went in and basically put a whole bunch of people doing media and reporters and news anchors in positions of authority to read the news that they were given by the CIA. And this has been going on now since the CIA's inception back in the 40s from the OSS, and it actually got much, much worse before and after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, which now a lot of historians believe the CIA had its fingerprints all over that assassination, along with the international banks, et cetera. Now, remember, the international banking cartels, they're the ones who also financed the Rockefeller-Rothschild medical complex, which runs the United States through the Food and Drug Administration, through the World Health Organization. And they're the ones that are pushing these different drugs for these different cures, for these different vaccines to everybody. Now, the other day I was speaking, Doug, to a man who's a lieutenant in our local police department. He was at our local church down the road from us. Him and another officer were there, and I pulled up beside him, and they were outside talking, and I just sat in my truck, and I talked to him, and I said, "Guys, what do you think about this nonsense?" And they said, "What nonsense are you referring to?" I said, "This closed country that we have." And they said, "Oh, that's nonsense." And I said, "Well, what does our local sheriff think about it?" He goes, "Well, he thinks it's nonsense." And that's why you haven't seen police officers on the roads and enforcing curfews and enforcing. You don't see any of that here. And he goes, "We know that basically this is a giant media play by Bill Gates. The officer's telling me this in his vaccination program. And this guy's a lieutenant." And I thought, I looked at him, I said, "Dude, you're right. That's exactly what it is." And I said, "It's all about going door to door with forced vaccinations." And he looked at me, he goes, "They're never going to force vaccinate me, ever." Now, this is a police officer telling me that. So, guys, our message and our words – that's right. Doug, what do you think about the fact that the police and the local law enforcement are waking up and they realize that this dog isn't going to hunt as far as we're going door to door with forced vaccinations?
I got a real problem, Ted. First of all, there's two things I want to address with you. Number one, you came on and obviously this virus, coronavirus, or the Chinese Communist Party virus, known as coronavirus 19 or COVID 19. You said it was bad, and you referenced things in New York City. And but then again, you said about this nonsense about closing everything down. Well, okay, just so people know that, you know, look, that you're not speaking out both sides of your mouth. Yes, it's bad, but do you destroy a country over the response on this due to the media hype? And I just want to make sure that people understand your position. Yes, the virus.
Thank you, Doug.
Go ahead.
Let me qualify. In my opinion, this is why I feel this way. This is a genome-specific bioweapon. It was specifically targeting Chinese. Now, people are saying it originated in Chinese from the Wuhan laboratory or whatever. I don't know. I can't prove any of that. All I know is it killed a bunch of Chinamen. I know that. However, I know that as with most viral loads, they mutate. They continually mutate. They continually mutate. If it was genome specific to kill China people, it's still going to kill people in this country, especially if they have impaired immune systems. But it won't be as bad. Plus, it continues to mutate and become less and less and less viable. What they've done here is they've taken a – now, I'm not saying that the country shouldn't have been closed down for a few weeks like it was in the beginning. I really don't have a problem with that as far as, you know, keeping people at home, shutting down some of the major infrastructure that basically has a lot of people going into restaurants or sports arenas or whatever to try to slow this thing down. But at this point, this thing has mutated so far that the government is now – and remember, the government is controlled by these international banks – is now using this social distancing. If they're not using it to track cell phones, because you can't really track cell phones if people are standing beside each other. Just thought I'd mention that. Or not using it basically to prevent people in groups from getting together like they just did in Michigan yesterday and left and went armed to the state capitol to protest that crazy governor there. They don't want this. Remember, let me go back and let me share this with you. These cabalists, they use capitalism and communism as a break and as a gas pedal to move economies and to change things. They actually said this. Otto Kahn said this. They hold the world by its axis, and they turn it any way they want to turn it in order to reach their desired outcome. And what they do is when things are starting to get away from them, they put on the brakes. Well, this time it was going to be really difficult to put on the brakes because of the amount of currency they had in circulation without creating hyperinflation like they did in the Weimar Republic. So rather than allowing this coronavirus to go to waste, they've kept the economies closed down now. And the reason they're doing this is they're using it as a brake to slow down capitalism, to slow down demand, to make people have no jobs and no money to spend anything on. So what they're doing is they're using it to regulate GDP and also global domestic product and the United States domestic product. They're doing this with the coronavirus. Now, the initial lockdown when this thing first came over from China, like I said, I don't have a problem with that. But to extend this indefinitely, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, 36 months, I'm hearing all kinds of crazy numbers. What it's going to do, the ripple effect of this will cause mass starvation. The ripple effect of this will cause massive increase in crime and therefore massive increases in the police state because people are going to be going out trying to find food for their families. They're going to be stealing stuff. I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have massive bread lines, more government dependence. Now, Nancy Pelosi, which everybody absolutely can't stand, who's got any sense whatsoever, is saying basically we need to have a basic income structure for everybody every week just to give them money. So I guess they don't riot. You got to keep the peasants from rioting. Same thing they did in Russia. Same thing they did in Venezuela. It's the same floor plan. It's the same basic floor plan. So what they're doing, what I'm saying is the coronavirus is really real, very real. And we could have a round two because there are people now in China that are coming down with the secondary phase of this. We talked about this on your show. But why isn't the government, instead of pushing vaccines, I mean, even Donald Trump pushing vaccines, why isn't the government saying, look, take vitamin C, take D3, take potassium iodide, take zinc, you know, wash your hands. You know, if you go into public, just be careful. You know, why aren't they putting thermoscans in, you know, thermometer in these big areas if someone's got a fever that they can be picked out, singled out, asked to go home? Why aren't they doing things like that instead of shutting down General Motors, shutting down Ford, shutting down Chrysler? I spoke to a dealership yesterday over in Tampa, huge Chevy dealership worth $100 million at its peak. Probably is still worth that. They can get it moving again. They're down like five cars a day. That's used and new. I mean, they have thousands of cars in inventory. They can't maintain the doggone floor plan inventory budget for that. And so they're all getting into a point where they're having to start lay off massive amounts of people, having to take payroll loans from the government. Now you see that the payroll loans, they just said this, I think it was Mutual said it this week, that if they don't do exactly what they're supposed to with the payroll, that anything over $2 million is going to be subjected to a forensic audit. That if anything's not exactly right on the payroll loans, they're going to be facing criminal charges. Wait a minute. Did I just hear that right? Criminal charges? Why don't you just ask them to pay the money back? Why criminal charges? See, all we're doing here is watching another Bolshevik revolution in slow motion. That's all this is. And so what I'm saying is the coronavirus is very real. And in the beginning, perhaps they could have closed down a few things for a little while to get things calmed down and prevent travel because for some reason, people don't like washing their hands. Okay. I mean, I haven't figured that out yet. Now, finally, they've realized they've got to wash their hands after they use the bathroom. I mean, that's a concept that I've talked about for so many years that people still didn't understand. Also, think about this too, Doug. People say, well, it's a ploy against Donald Trump to keep Donald Trump from being elected. And I'm not saying there's not a component of that because the Democrats are willing to jump on anything so Donald Trump doesn't get reelected. But wait a minute. This is also happening in France and in Italy. And in Germany, and in England, and in China, and that has absolutely nothing to do with the re-election of Donald Trump. It's the international banking cartels that control the entire narrative via their propaganda that they spew like sewage out of the TVs and out of the radios and all of these networks that they own that are continuing to tell you, you must have fear, you must be locked up, you must not go to church, you must not have Easter Sunday. All this crap is all it is. And that's what I'm saying is wrong now. We've got to a point where we're going to destroy the entire global domestic product. The global economic world engine of commerce is going to be destroyed if we don't stop this. But see, that's their goal because if they do that, if they shut down that demand engine, they can print currency and not. That's what they want to do here. And that's why we have found ourselves caught in the middle of this mess. And so I believe the virus is very real. I believe the original lockdown, okay, was probably prudent to do that, to see what was going to happen like it wouldn't happen in Wuhan. I believe that the flights out of China should have been closed 2 months earlier. I'll say that. I'll go on record with that. up until just a few weeks ago, they were still coming from China, and I'm sure they still are, to other airports. 2 weeks ago, my in-laws, they're part of a ministry group that works down in Ecuador, and they had flown back down into Ecuador at the end of January. I guess my advice, I told them, I said, guys, you really don't need to go back down there right now because you don't know what this coronavirus is going to do. And they said, no, the church is saying that we have to go back. And I'm like, okay. So they got down there, and Ecuador is one of the hot spots, and all of a sudden they got locked down. They couldn't have church, couldn't leave their houses. They could only go by their license plate number, what it ended in, what day of the week they could actually go to the grocery store. So my pastor friend started losing a bunch of weight, couldn't get enough food. Finally, the group of the church that put him down there, they sent a jet to pick a bunch of other people, kind of like an emergency extraction, to get them out of this coronavirus hotspot. This was 2 weeks ago. So they sent a jet out there. They picked them up in Ecuador. They flew them back to Miami to go through customs. From Miami, they caught another plane and came back up to Central Florida. In fact, they drove back a 4-hour drive back up here. Here's me telling you this. They were not required to answer any questions from customs. They weren't given a body scanner. Their temperature was not taken. Nothing happened. They came from a hot spot of coronavirus, supposedly in Ecuador, and they walked into the country and did not have to experience anything from the CDC. This is what's going on. They're selective on who they close down, who they don't close down. Why wasn't the traffic stopped out of China back in December when the stuff started getting bad over there? Or even 1st of January? Why did we have to wait for months? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the World Health Organization said it would be racist to shut down China and not allow travel to China. We have to ask ourselves this question. Does the WHO run the world? Well, the WHO is another offshoot of this mega banking Rothschild empire that uses cutouts, and that's my opinion, like Bill Gates and, you know, all, and Fauci and, you know, and all the other people, Bezos, who suddenly come from nothing, from absolutely rags to riches, Horatio Alger stories. They start off with absolutely zero money and they become billionaires. No. And it's the same thing that I see too, Doug, with certain alt media broadcasts and alt media platforms. I've already been taken off of YouTube. They took me down 2.5 years ago. They said, you know, done. We're not putting you back up. Done. I said, okay, whatever. Who cares? A lot of people have been pulled off YouTube. A lot of people. And a lot of people have been sanctioned. A lot of people go back on and off and back on and off and back on and off. But there are a few of these groups of alternative media people who every time you turn on a YouTube video, their ad pops up about how they have the world's greatest news and all the stuff is being told to them and they have the best news stories. I mean, every time you go to a new YouTube video, here they are again, here they are again, here they are again, here they are again. And you and I have talked about it. You know, I've been around for 40 years, been in business for 39 years now. I've been doing this a long time. I was a college professor for 2 years up in Tallahassee. I was on the seminar circuit for 6 years. I spoke to over a million people. I've written many, many books that were international bestsellers. I've been doing this for a long, long time. I didn't just pop out of obscurity. I was retired, and I felt the good Lord call me back to doing what I'm doing with my own talk show about 6, 7, 8 years ago. What was interesting is who are these people who come from obscurity? You've never heard from them. They put up a YouTube video and they get 20 million views or 10 million views or 5 million views. I've got YouTube videos that have over a million views. There aren't that many of them, but there are a whole bunch of them that I have millions of views. But the point is, where do these people come from suddenly? Well, then you got to go right back to Operation Mockingbird. You got to go right back to the fact that certain search engines and algorithms are pointing towards their websites and towards their news stories to give them the prominence on the internet. So what we have here in alt media is basically compromised. You know, a lot of people won't tell you what I just told you today. I talked about it on the show today. I mean, today I had Savannah, I played the video of her singing, or when the video was an audio portion of that video, singing Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty in my show. I mentioned that earlier. And I told the folks, I said, this is how committed I am to Christ. This is how committed I am to the great I am. And I said, I'm playing this. How many other shows have you heard do this? And to see, this is the problem that we run into when we see other medias and other outlets promoting certain agendas. You have to ask yourself a question. Why don't they talk about the international banking cartels? Why don't they talk about the $1.5 trillion of heroin that's coming out of Afghanistan every year that's being run through the CIA, through Air Force C-130 transport planes that are going through lily pad bases all over the world and being taken to drug cartels and laundered through international banks? Why does anyone else want to talk about that besides your show, my show, Hodges, and a few of the other ones? We're it. And the reason for that is, they get too much pressure put on not to do that. You have too many advertisers to say, hey, you can't talk about that. You know, you did the same thing. I remember years ago, Doug, you had a bunch of advertisers, different ones. And you called me up one day and said, hey, they told me I can't talk about this, this, and this, or they're not going to advertise with me anymore. You said, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care if they advertise with me or not. I remember you telling me that, and I still respected you for that. That's why with our show, with Global Star, I'm kind of like you. I bought the entire hour of time from Global Star Satellite. And we don't have any commercial breaks in the entire hour. It's a straight non-stop talk. That's all it is. And the reason we do that is I'm not going to be beholden to special interest groups or to advertisers. I'm not going to do that. I believe that a workman is worth his wages. I believe that God's will done, God's way is never going to lack God's support. And that's why we tell our listeners, thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for getting your B complex. Thank you for getting your vitamin D from us. Thank you for supporting us. And they do, because they like it just as much like your show, Doug, where you don't have constant commercials every 3 minutes. I remember I had another – I'm not going to get it. If I go there, I'm going to get in trouble. I've had other multiple platforms ask me to come on and basically try to compromise me as soon as I came on as far as promoting my show, et cetera. And I just told them, no, I'm not interested. Guys, it's so important that we understand who we're supporting and who we're listening to. I mean, it's ludicrous to believe that this is just happening around us and it's not planned. What do you think?
No, about that. What I think consumers and users, people who watch and listen to you and me, our shows respectively, and who listen individually and collectively, to us or to us individually and collectively, I don't think they understand the battle that's taking place in the background. Oh my goodness.
They don't.
It's
ridiculous.
It's people in the alternative media fragging each other. I mean, metaphorically.
All the time.
Lawsuits, but by the way, lawsuits flying everywhere. And you never see or hear about that. And I mean that. The legal system's been weaponized. So the reason I brought that up is I'm glad you brought that up, because it is so important. Again, like you said, who you listen to, who you watch. Otherwise, I mean, I've seen sellouts. Yeah, you're right. I've seen people sell out. I've seen people self-destruct.
Me too, Doug.
It's sad. And I just want to get that off my chest. I don't really have anything to add. By the way, earlier, two other things. Earlier, you were talking about Rob. Folks, Wisconsin Christian News.
I was talking about Rob. Yeah, I love the guy.
I'm going to tell you, hopefully I'll have a column for them in the next issue. WisconsinChristianNews.com. There it is. Please support them by subscribing and donating as well. So I want to mention that.
Yes, please.
And I also want to mention too what you sent me, and I don't know if we can show it just tune into today's show, Ted and Austin Brower. Your daughter was just absolutely, it was stunning. It was stunning. So thank you.
Well, it's so funny. I sent that video of her singing Holy, Holy, Holy. She also sang There's Something in the Water, Jesus Take the Wheel, Oh Holy Night. And she also sang Silent Night in German. So if you want to hear some beautiful, beautiful songs that'll really uplift you and elevate your spirit, listen to Savannah. And you think, well, everybody thinks their daughters can sing, and yours probably can't sing either. I'm like, okay, just listen to the songs. If you believe that, go ahead and send me a mail and say you don't like her singing. Because I'm telling you what, the girl's got a gift. She's phenomenal, and she's got such a sweet spirit.
In fact, I had it playing on my computer in the office in my home, and my wife was walking by the office, and she heard it, and she stopped. She said, "Who is that?" And she thought I had the radio on, and you know, I mean, very well done. Stunning. So the link will be at HagmanReportLive.com. So you gotta watch, listen.
Well, I took her to a studio last week. It was like $50 an hour. She's in it for an hour. You know, they basically took a couple hours of editing. So it's like $150, $200. And I got 5 songs on audio, on video to post on YouTube. Cause I told her I would do that for her because I feel so strongly that she's got such a tremendous gift. And in fact, I sent one of those videos to a major Christian network with 65 million households on their cable network. And they immediately texted me back. I mean, immediately the owner's wife texted me back and said, we want her on our show. We want her on our show. We want her to do a whole show. We want her to sing, you know, for like 4 or 5 songs. And I said, okay, that'd be great. We'll come over and do the show with her. I said, if you want, we can drop her off. They said, no, we want you and Sharon on the show and having Santa singing, you know, during the breaks. And I'm like, well, that'd be wonderful. That's how good she sings. So if you guys like the songs, watch the videos, watch all of them, you know, give her some encouragement, give her a thumbs up. And guys, thank you for doing that for me. I've never ever asked you to do that for me in all the years I've been on the show, but she's just a good, good girl. And she's starting Christian Bible College, hopefully in the fall. But I want to stop and say one thing. This is an article from Zero Hedge. And they say something about Tyler Durden, which is of course a pseudonym, and what they write on Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge is pretty much on point. They don't play any games with anybody. I like Zero Hedge. Drudge, I believe, has been compromised. If even Drudge still owns that whole network,
no,
it's just all a bunch of anti-Trump hatreds. All that thing turned into a bunch of positive gay stuff, which I can't stand. But Zero Hedge has, the name of the article is 6.66 trillion or 6.66 trillion, 666. And they start off and they say, listen to this. I love this because it's not, but I don't love what it says. I love the fact that he brought it up. It says, well, at least our satanic overlords have a sense of humor. Whoa. He even called them out as being the satanic overlords. You think, well, they're not overlording me. Let me share something with you very quickly. And this is really important because I had a friend of mine who's a national talk show host on regular radio. And one time he was syndicated to 200 stations. And then it's interesting. I'm not going to mention his name because he'll fuss at me. I'm just going to tell you. And all of a sudden, he has Donald Rumsfeld come on promoting his book. And he asked Donald Rumsfeld about Building 7 on 9/11. And Rumsfeld said he had no idea what he was talking about. Of course, we're talking about the Solomon Building. Didn't have any idea what he's talking about. Didn't have any idea about Building 7. And so I was talking to my friend the other day. He goes, well, I'm not in this. I'm not part of this, you know, world system. I said, yeah, well, I said, the problem is when we become a Christian, you're set aside. You're bought at a price. And we, at that point, are no longer of this world. We're just in it. Now, let me explain that to you. Okay. In the Garden of Eden, these people basically believed that God created the heavens and the earth, and then Adam gave over the creation with Eve to Lucifer. This is what they believe. And even Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, showed all of these different cities from the top of the temple. He basically said, you know, in top of the mountain or wherever he was, I don't remember at this point. He said, basically, jump, throw yourself down and the angels will pick you up because you'll not basically hit the stones. And I'm paraphrasing, so don't fuss at me. And Jesus himself knew, Satan says to him, if you want to have all of these kingdoms, the authority over all of these kingdoms, all you have to do is kneel down and bow to me. And he basically said, no. You know, and he was tempted and tested several of the times after he'd been fasting for 40 days. Now, the thing I'm trying to make here is this. The Bible says that the God of this world would never have crucified the Son of Glory had he known what he was doing. Never would do it. That's number one. And number two, it says the God of this world has put a veil around the eyes and the hearts of the unbelievers so they cannot see or know the truth. I'm going to go another step further. The God of this world has also blinded a lot of Christians into believing that they don't have to be involved in politics. They don't have to be involved in doing what's right, that all they have to do is sit back and let revelation unfold, get raptured, end up going into heaven and watching from the heavenly grandstand as all hell breaks loose down here and everybody goes through the tribulation. Now, I'm not going to go into that comment today as far as any further than that. I could go into Samuel Untermeyer. I could go all the way back to 1820. I've done all that on the show many times. I'm not going to do that today. My point is, my buddy said to me, well, I'm not part of this system. And I said, well, we're in this system, though we're not of it. And there's a movie out. It's an R-rated movie. It's with Vin Diesel. It's called Riddick. And I'm not recommending the movie because it's got some bad language in it. And it says, he's being taken to a prison colony called crematorium. Now, a lot of you guys have watched it. You know you have, and so you remember this scene. And he's being let down a chain in shackles. And he's basically being let down into the community of prisoners. And when he gets to the bottom, they ask him, they said, are you going to be a convict or are you going to be an inmate? And he looked at him and he said, look, he said, I'm neither. I'm just passing through. Guys, that's who you are as a Christian. We're just passing through this world. You know, they have no hold on us. Death, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? It doesn't exist for us as Christians. Jesus conquered both hell and the grave. I mean, we have complete and total authority over them. That's why they shut down the Christian churches. They didn't shut down the mosques, as far as I know. They weren't finding people going to mosques and praying on prayer rugs. They weren't going into Hindu and Buddhist churches. Whatever they worship in. They weren't doing any of that I see, but the Christians are always fair game. Christians will go to a drive-in church, be social distancing, in a car, and they're being given tickets and fines. Why is that? Why do they pick on believers? Because we are in covenant with God. See, when Jesus Christ came and he offered himself as our sacrifice, you know, we were bought at a price. And because of that, because of the blood covenant that we have through God, through Christ, we now are in covenant with God Almighty, the creator of the universe. And because of that, when we call on the name of Jesus, when we call on the great I am, when we call on our Heavenly Father, he listens. And things get done. And the fabric of time-space changes. The other religions can't do that. Only we can do that. And that's why there's this all-out war on Christianity on the planet. And think about it for a second. I talked about this on our show. I think it was yesterday or Wednesday. If Jesus had never come, and we were still living under Roman law with all of the orgies and all the sick perversions and all the sick stuff that the Romans and all the different gods and idols they were involved with, if you go to Rome, you'll see it all still sitting around. You know, everything would have changed. I mean, you know, we wouldn't have Christianity trying to love one another. Now, we would also not have the great crusades that happened and all the other horrible things that the church was involved in through the ages. That all wouldn't be either, but all of the other things would happen. And think about the Roman Empire. They were conquest. They went in and conquered countries and took their stuff. That's all they did. That's how they kept expanding, by stealing stuff and building bigger armies, until they got so top-heavy they could no longer pay for it all. Kind of sounds like the United States with our 1,000 military bases, doesn't it? See, this is the problem that we have when people don't understand what Christianity is. You were bought at a price. You have tremendous authority. You don't have any idea when you pray that you create scalar waves, which change the fabric of space-time. I mean, I talked to my girls about this yesterday, Savannah, the singer who you talked about earlier, and also my daughter, who's 19 years old, who's starting her third year of the university this fall. And I said, look, I said, you guys have to pray. If you don't pray, you can't change things. I said, when you pray, you've got to pray with the authority that God gave you through Christ, and you've got to pray with faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we had this long discussion yesterday morning, and the other night we had a two-hour discussion, and we've all prayed together. Guys, it's so important that we pray in unison with one another, that we have the same prayer, that we can, you know, I pray for you guys. I pray that God blesses you, that he keeps you, that he allows his face to shine upon you, that he's gracious unto you, that he grants you grace, mercy, peace, love, prosperity, health, companionship, a long life. I pray that every single day for you guys. And for those of you who will receive it, I believe it's true. I have a friend of mine right now. His name is Gene. He listens to our show, and he's got a vending machine business. Not a vending machine. He has a trailer business, food trailer business, and you know, his business is doing real slow. And I said, I'm going to pray for you. And then he called me up today. He goes, I can't believe it. We're setting records. Like, every week's another record. I'm like, well, praise God. See, when we pray together in unison, things happen. Doug, I can't tell you how many – perfect example. I don't know if I told you guys a story or not. I have another friend of mine. His name is Shelton. He does stonework up in North Carolina. I was up there a few months last year. He did some stonework for me on the front of a barn. And he came over the first day I met him, and I said, what's wrong? Something's wrong with you. And he goes, well, how do you know that? I said, I could feel it. He's a Christian. And I didn't know he was Christian. I just felt something was wrong. He goes, well – my grandson has just been admitted to the hospital. His name is Harrison, which is the same name as my youngest son. My grandson Harrison had a shot. He had his MMR shot this morning, and he was hospitalized with severe reactions, encephalitic scream. He's arched his back. His head's eyes have rolled back in his head, running a super high fever. He's screaming, and they don't know if he's alive or not. I said, oh, we got to pray. And I stopped everything we were doing, and I prayed right there. Right there for him, we stopped. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell. And I got goosebumps all over me. He got goosebumps all over him. He goes, you feel that? I said, yep. I said, that little boy's going to be fine. he called his wife up immediately after we prayed. And she goes, "We don't know what just happened. The doctor just ran in here and said that it's all stopping. He's getting better right now." Guys, that's the power we have as Christians. We have the ability to change the fabric of time space. We can do anything. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because we're in covenant with God Almighty, not through our own power, but through the blood of the Lamb, and because we can come boldly into the throne room. We can actually petition God directly now because of Jesus. We couldn't do that before Christ. So if we understand who and what you are as a Christian, it changes everything. And the good news is, Doug, a lot of my pastor friends from some of these really, really, really big churches, they're actually calling me up now and they're asking me, what the heck is going on? I just the other day, I had one call up who has over 30,000 members. And he's sitting around on Sunday morning, not going to church. And he texts me up on Sunday morning. He goes, "Ted, what the heck is going on?" Because, you know, I've been helping him with his health stuff for years. And I said, "Do you really want to know?" He goes, "Yeah." He said, "I've had enough of this." He said, "Who do these people think they are? And why do they have this kind of authority? They can close our churches like this and not let us have church." He goes, "I like going to church. I love preaching. I love my people." And he goes, "I can't even see them anymore." And I said, "Well, I'll help you with this if you want. But it's going to be, you know, kind of an interesting revelation for you, because you're not going to be used to what I'm telling you. I've sent you a few things here and there over the years, but I try to stay away from the political part with you because, you know, I'm kind of on a professional level. You try helping me with your health." And I said, "But I don't mind helping you with this." And so I sat there for about 30 minutes and I talked to him, and he goes, "Can you send me more information?" He says, "I want to know specifically about the Kabbalah." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "You're talking about Weinsoff, the snake in the tree guy." And he goes, "Yeah, I want to know what the heck these guys are up to and what they do and why they believe this stuff." And I said, "Well, you're going to have to read the Zohar or understand the Zohar, at least read parts of it, or read an outline on it and understand who wrote it and how they wrote it." I said, "This is why it's so important to understand who these people are and what they believe, because these guys control the monetary system of the planet." And I said, "If they control the monetary system of the planet, that makes them the nexus of the spider web." And I go into detail on that today on the Today Show. And I sent him the outline of the Today Show, and I'll send him the link to the Today Show. So we're finally getting the pastors to listen. You know, Chuck Baldwin has been saying the same thing, like I've been saying the same thing for years and years and years. None of this would have been possible if Hillary Clinton was president of the United States, Doug, and Hillary Clinton says, "I'm shutting down all evangelical churches. Nobody's having services and nobody's going to church on Easter Sunday." All hell would have broken loose. The Patriots would have been marching on Washington. The Patriots have been marching on state capitals. Everybody says, "You're not going to stop our Easter Sunday service. You're not going to do it, Hillary Clinton. We know who you are." But guys, we've been, how should I say this? We've been, you did a show last time I was live with you, Doug, because I've been on with you probably 5 weeks. You did a show in which you had another show host do a big expose on the Q stuff and basically saying that it was all a CIA psyop. And that's exactly what it is. And what that's allowed these folks to do was to make everybody believe that this whole shutdown of the planet is part of a master plan that these guys are doing in Washington to arrest their 175,000 traitors that we have in the United States government, to allow the Patriots to no longer be involved because we're thinking it's all under control. It's not. These guys are doing whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. Now, here's what you can do if you want to change that. If you want to do a real grassroots movement to change this, these controllers, everything they do is based on numbers and algorithms and bots and data points and all the other stuff. Plus, they do something else, and this is going to sound really weird because I think they're nuts, but this is what they believe. They believe in astrological charts and astronomy and seeing things and reading things out of the sky, and everything's based on what they call gematria, you know, by the numbers, by this, by that, by that. That's how they do their wizard stuff. You think, wizards? Yeah, that's about what you can call them. In fact, I was doing a show one time, and I was sub-hosting for Joyce Riley before she died. And she asked me to do a bunch of shows, be the host for her. This is 7, 8 years ago now. And I remember I interviewed this one guy, and he started talking to me about Kabbalah stuff. And I'm interviewing him, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this guy's way out there. And finally I said to him, I said, "So what you're telling me is that you're a Kabbalist wizard." I said that to him in the air. And he goes, "Yes, I'm a wizard."
Wow.
He admitted to it. He admitted to it, Doug. Mm. I'm not going to mention any names. I don't mention names. I've just learned a long time. Just you guys want to go look it up on Joyce's show, you can find out who I'm talking about. But the point is, wow. You see, this is this group that runs the planet. They practice the ancient Canaanite religions of Baal, Asherah, Moloch, all these different things. And also they tie the ancient Egyptian religions into it. This is all being pushed together through the Zohar, which is the foundational work of all witchcraft and Satanism. Of course, they don't call them Satanists, but if you ask them like I mentioned earlier, if you ask them about Ein Sof, they'll see you get their attention because now they know that you're not just ignorant of this topic matter. Guys, it's so important that we understand this. But, you know, here's the point. When I was talking to Man Cow, I told him, I said, I should have mentioned his name. When I was talking to Man, he's another show host that I know. Just the other day, I was asking him some questions, and he told me, he goes, Ted, he goes, it's so interesting to me how the stuff that you've been talking about and telling me about for so many years is coming to pass. And, you know, it's true, guys. And it's not because I have some big clairvoyance thing or whatever, because I don't believe in any of that stuff, but because we're led by the Holy Spirit. And God himself is omnipresent. He'll give you insight into why things happen and what things are going to happen. You'll start seeing things, and that's through the Holy Spirit. Guys, and that's why it's so important that you ask to be led by the Holy Spirit every single day. But, guys, it's also important to realize that this group of people and the things that control the planet, that we're not subject to them. We're not under their authority. Satan's under our feet. He has no authority over us at all. And we have to, if we understand that as Christians and we all pray in unison and believe for the same things, guys, there's nothing we can accomplish. So here's what you do at the grassroots level. You take Hagman's show, Doug's show, every single day, and you send it to your friends. You take the Ted and Austin Brewer show, you post it on Facebook, you post it on YouTube, you post it to your friends, wherever you can put it, any social media, put it out on Instagram, you put out the links, you do everything you possibly can to promote alt media that you know is telling you the truth. That's how you do this, because these guys go everything, like I mentioned earlier, on algorithms, on data points. And if they see that they're getting too much pushback right now against the vaccinations, I mean, they're going door to door now in Georgia and collecting blood samples on a volunteer basis and just showing up at people's doors and asking for blood. I mean, this is insanity. And people don't know their own rights, so they're sitting there rolling up their sleeves. Say, sure, take my blood. Why are we doing this? Oh, because you're saving people's lives. You're like, but I don't really want to give you my blood. Who are you? But, you know, so that's the kind of stuff that we've got going on right now. Right now, they're setting us up and prepping us. Oh, by the way, we're here to give you an injection. Don't really want an injection. Don't you want to save lives? Well, we're going to have to mark your mailbox or mark the front of your house and let people know that you didn't take the injection. We're going to have to single you out so your neighbors won't come over here and help you or talk to you. And basically, we're going to paint a scarlet letter on your front door. We're going to let them know that you are a vaccine denier. You're a vaccine refuser. And you're like, what the heck are you talking about? Get off my property, you weirdo. And sure enough, they're painting your mailbox. You're like, what the heck did this paint in my mailbox? This is what it's setting us up to. This is a social credit system that was used in China. That's being used in China right now to keep everybody doing what they're supposed to. Otherwise, they can't get a bus ticket. They can't take a taxi. They can't fly on an airplane. They can't take a train unless they're a good little Chinese citizen slave. They're doing the exact same thing to us. Because remember, the same Bolsheviks that did the Russian Revolution are the same ones that did the Chinese Revolution and put communism into China. They're the same ones right now that are basically running the United States and pushing this communist narrative into the United States. I mean, these guys are socialists. Well, yeah, they're communists. Bernie Sanders and the rest.
Absolutely. And if I may stop you right there, Washington Examiner today, Washington Standard. Make sure I get that right. Washington Standard. I don't want to misattribute anything here. Medical tyranny. Trump pivots to mandatory vaccines under Operation Warp Speed. Okay. Now that's the operation name, Warp Speed. So here's the deal. Mandatory vaccinations are coming, and Trump signed off on this. Okay, President Trump signed off on this, and I'm tell you what, I'm not happy. I don't agree with him, and I'm not going to take the vaccine. Here's my question to you: Christians, conservatives, and Christians and Christian conservatives, we need to, I think, at this point, make a decision. If this is coming. We're going to have to decide how we're going to handle this, right? Because no one's going to come to me and say, you're going to get vaccinated or put in a camp or your mailbox marked or your business shut down. That ain't happening. So I think you and I and everyone listening and viewing this, we need to get together and determine what our response is going to be and convey that to the idiots out there pushing this crap. What do you think about this? Because we better be ready.
But
Well, it's like I told you in the beginning of the show, with that lieutenant that I spoke to from the local police department, he says, they're not vaccinating me or my family. He said, Bill Gates and his cronies can just go somewhere else. I'm not taking the vaccine. So the next question is, how far will you resist this? Well, I don't think they're going to force it to start with. I think they're going to do exactly what they're doing with the blood draws in Georgia. Again, data points, research, research. Everything's by the numbers. And if we resist right now, if we get online right now and we say, right now, after this show, and you put the show out and get 100 million views or whatever you want. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. A million views on the show tonight. Put it out. Say, we ain't taking your stupid vaccine. Not now, not ever, not forever. We're not going to forget what you did with the swine flu vaccine back in 76 when all the people got paralyzed from it and all these people, billions of dollars in lawsuits were started within a few months. And then all of a sudden the vaccine manufacturers were about to go out of business because of what they were doing to people. And then Ronald Reagan a few years later decided to make them exempt from any lawsuits. We're not going to forget what you did with the swine flu vaccine. So no, we're not taking your stupid vaccine, and be vocal about it. Be vocal, just like that police officer was, just like I'm being right now. The answer is no. Absolutely heck no. Or you can fill in your own word there. Maybe you can say H-E double sticks no. But the reality is no, we're not doing it. And if you say that loud enough on social media, we're not doing this. We're not going there. Then they'll realize it ain't time yet. They're not going to get through with this. Now, I got to say something, and you guys are going to start fussing at me, and that's okay because I don't really care anymore because it just is what it is. Donald Trump has more CFR members in his administration than any other president. He's dropped more bombs in the Middle East in the first 3 years of his presidency than Barack Obama did in 8. Donald Trump has more Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan people in his administration than any other president ever. Donald Trump was bailed out by the Rothschild back basically banking cartel back in 1989 with Wilbur Ross through Rothschild Inc. All of this stuff makes me wonder what the heck's going on with Donald Trump. Donald Trump was friends with Jeffrey Epstein. People say, oh, I can't believe you're talking about Trump. He's better than Hillary. Okay, stop with that. Let's stop with that. We all know the witch of Benghazi was right from the pits of H.E. double sticks. We got that, okay? The problem is we got to ask ourselves a question, the same question that Chuck Baldwin asks. Would we have allowed Hillary Clinton to push red flag gun laws nationwide in the United States? No. Would we have allowed Hillary Clinton to close churches down on Easter Sunday? Absolutely. Heck no. We've got to ask ourselves a question. Now we have Donald Trump, and I just pulled it up too. Operation Warp Speed, as far as forced mandatory vaccines, and Trump's behind it. Well, what happened to Donald Trump when he was running for president, was talking about how he was going to put Kennedy in charge of looking at the doggone vaccinations and why so many kids had autism, 1 in 32 in some cities. By the way, that is really high now, 1 in 32 boys. Why didn't that ever happen? Well, I'll tell you why it didn't happen. And as hard as I don't want to believe this, Donald Trump is being controlled by the same deep state, the same swamp creatures that he said he was not going to be controlled by. Because I don't know why. I don't know what's in his past. I don't know what they have on him. I know that Jeffrey Epstein had 1,000 people in his little black book. I know there were over 1 million pages of testimony supposedly from the victims of Jeffrey Epstein and the research they had collected that we're never going to get to see now because he supposedly killed himself. Let me say something about that. I've said it on your show and I'll say it again. People say, well, I don't think Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. I'm going a step further now. Jeffrey Epstein was Mossad. We know that. I'm here to tell you that Mossad doesn't kill Mossad. They don't do that. I personally believe, like a lot of other people believe, that a body double was used and Jeffrey Epstein's to have his little pedophile life somewhere else. I mean, when he was 50 years old, he had 2 12-year-old girls brought over from Paris to have sex with him. Stinking pervert, weirdo, lowlife that he was. Bleh. Okay? And we're supposed to think that, and all of a sudden we start talking about Jeffrey Epstein, and all of a sudden also starts coming out with all this pedophilia, which is all part of that satanic worship through the Kabbalah. Thought I'd mention that through the Zohar. All of a sudden, Donald Trump gets impeached immediately, which we knew he wasn't going to go through. And then all of a sudden, when that goes over with, we start having this virus coming out of China. And now we have this mess going on. Nobody even talks about Epstein anymore. The whole Washington establishment is steeped in sin and compromise. And now Donald Trump signs off on Operation Warp Speed. Oh, by the way, don't worry. It's all part of the master plan. It'll all work out. So you keep people think. Good luck with all that. What do you think, Doug?
Well, all right. I can't say I agree with everything you said. All right. Now, the facts are the facts, and I agree with the facts that you said. However, Look, if you look at this like a crime scene, I look at the resistance that is facing President Trump. I look at what's going on there. I'm not going to be an apologist for him, but I look at all of the crap that has been flung at him. The media, my gosh, the media, Ted, they're anti-Donald Trump 24/7. All of the media now, just about. So let me ask you this. If Donald Trump was part of the club, would the media be hammering him so much? Would he be getting so much flack?
Yes.
Okay, why?
Yes.
Why? Tell me why.
Yes.
I want to know why.
Because here's why. They control the gas and the brake. I talk about this on the day show in depth, all right? Gas, brake, gas, brake, gas, brake. Oh, we got a coronavirus crisis. We have a war against terrorists. We've got a war on terror. We've got a war against Iran. We got a war on Iraq. We got a war on Syria. These are the enemies. You're either with the terrorists or you're with us. You're either with the coronavirus or you're with us. It's all this, Doug. It's the push pull to get the narrative out that they want. Now, am I saying that Donald Trump was never real? No, I'm not saying that. And I hope and I pray that you're right, Doug. That's the thing. I hope and I pray the Q people are right. Well, I know you're not a Q person.
No, I hope they're right.
Yeah. I hope this is all part of the master plan. But guys, you got to look at the facts. And so here's the deal. If this is really the plan, this plan sucks. How in the world are they shutting down the global economic engine? This plan's awful. Are you kidding me? And if the plan was only about Donald Trump, why would they be doing it in all these other? I know you're laughing at me, Doug. Why would all the countries be going through it too?
No, you know, I'm laughing with this plan sucks. Trust the plan. Well, that sucks.
I didn't want coronavirus.
It hurts. Me, it hurts my brain when I see this. Oh, it's just trust the plan.
Me too.
Oh, wait. You know what this is a cover for? They're arresting stop it.
75,000 indictments. I got it. I know. And I hope all that's true, but it's not.
Oh man, no, it's not. So, and you know, again, you look at the facts, and especially about the foreign wars and about the military assets being used versus, you know, President Trump versus Obama. I got that. You can't argue the facts. The facts are the facts. The fact that President Trump is pivoting toward mandatory vaccines under Operation Warp Speed. Did he change his mind? Whatever it is, we've got to communicate to, or we've got to ask him, number one, why, what are you thinking? Why? You know, going back to that, by the way, yeah, your plan sucks. Yeah. That's right. We only have a couple of minutes left. Look, you and I are going to have, you and I are going to wrestle someday, right? I mean,
yeah, you'll win, Doug.
I don't think so. You and I have spirited conversations, and I love this because
good show.
You know, yeah, really. But at the end of the day, folks, here's the deal. I want you to know this. All right, we both care about this country. We both care about everyone listening
That's
and viewing,
right.
And we both
That's right.
we both Pray believe in the same. You know, the only deal breaker here. The only thing that you and I really have to agree on, and not saying that we disagree, but is the road to salvation or the way to salvation, and we know that.
That's right. Jesus Christ.
That's right. And the mm-hmm. second thing, and thank you for, I was going to say that, Jesus Christ, thank you. But also, we have to take care of ourselves. And to do that is healthmasters.com.
Right.
Healthmasters.com. Your nutritional supplements, there it is on screen. Folks, do yourself a favor. Make yourself feel better. I mean, not feel better, but you do it, Ted. You do it. I can't even spring too coercive.
Guys, you know, here's the thing. If we're really coming to the end times and if this is the plan we're stuck with, okay, you better stay healthy. Keep your weight under control. You know, take your supplements, take your D3, take your potassium iodide, take your zinc. Stay healthy. If you need to drop 20, 30, 40 pounds, start dropping that now. If you're taking a bunch of medications that can be controlled through diet and lifestyle choices, you might want to come off those meds, but have your medical doctor help you to do that. I'm not giving you advice to come off prescription medications. I would never do that, but work with your medical doctor in doing that. If you can control blood sugar, high blood pressure, anything that you can control naturally without the use of drugs, do it. But guys, here's the thing. You know, The most important thing, it's not even the nutritional supplements. So I'm stopping with that. You guys, if you want to support us, do that. Great. If you don't want to, that's great too. Whatever you want to do is fine. I mean, I love you anyhow. I'm going to pray for you anyhow. But get right with Jesus. Understand who the author and the finisher and the perfecter of your faith is. Understand that we're all in blood covenant with the Most High God. Understand that if they're not talking about Jesus Christ on the show that you're listening to and Jesus crucified and resurrected, I want to listen to somebody else. If they're on the show drunk or smoking or bringing on whores or who knows what they're doing. You know, you got to think through who's putting stuff in your mind and what they're doing to you. And you have to ask yourself a couple questions. Who are you hanging out with? What's it doing to you? And is it okay? When you stay with Jesus, it's always going to be okay, guys. Thanks for listening.
Perfect timing, Ted. I love you, man. Thank you for your support. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. And do that. HR5 is a promo code. Look, we're all in this. Well, you know what? I don't want to say that, except to say know who our Savior is. Ted, thank you, and we'll be talking later.
Thank you, Dave. My pleasure.
That'll do it for me. Have a great weekend, everyone. Watch HagmanReportLive.com. Patreon meeting this weekend. Patreon meeting Sunday. Don't forget to our supporters. Thank you very much. May God bless. Night.